Welcome to Conversations on WDRT 91.9 FM. My name is Marcy West, and today we're featuring another community in our area, Cashton, Wisconsin. My guest today is Scott Wall, president for the Bank of Cashton and the perfect spokesperson to highlight Cashton. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Marcy.
You and I met over 30 years ago, I think, and you haven't aged a bit, by the way. This is so fun to reconnect in this format. I think I had just moved to the community and started the job at the Reserve. But since then, what have you been up to? Can you give us an overview of your career and experience?
Well, again, appreciate being here and feel honored to be at the foundational piece of community radio here at WDRT, and certainly wanted to do our part to tell you a little bit more about Cashton. But grew up in Cashton, was able to go to Cashton High School, got a nice rural high school education at Cashton, and went on to college at UWL and graduated and came back, and have been at the Bank of Cashton since 1991, doing different community development efforts and regional support for, you know, different initiatives, and feel living in rural western Wisconsin is the best place to be.
I couldn't agree more. So with full disclosure, the Bank of Cashton is a longtime supporter of WDRT, and we appreciate all our donors, but that's not why we invited you. So a quick online search of Cashton tells us the population is roughly 1,200 people. It's located in Monroe County, technically, but pretty close to the border with Vernon. It has the state highway intersection of Highways 33 and 27, and Cashton is much more than that. So I'll ask you what I've asked others. When you're traveling or when you're at conferences or meetings and somebody asks you about your community, how do you describe Cashton to someone who's never been there?
Well, we're highly elevated. highly elevated in terms of topography. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
So if you're traveling through the area, you may see some wind turbines, and that is Cashton, and that's a community initiative with Organic Valley and Gunderson. At the time, they were labeled Gunderson. I'm not sure what they are now. The health
Amplify
Health, and so we're very proud of the fact that the Organic Valley has got a major headquarters in Cashton. If you see the wind turbines, you'll notice that we're 1,384 feet above sea level, which at the time Cashton was founded in 1879, was one of the highest rail stops in Wisconsin. And we had this connection with Viroqua because we were also on the Milwaukee Railroad, the Viroqua branch of the Milwaukee Railroad. So that's why Cashton was founded where it was. It was founded by a gentleman by the name of William Henry Harrison Cash, founded in 1879. He acquired much of the land that was where Cashton is currently located, and then he was a part of the railroad development, and that is essentially where Cashton, when you see it, it kind of sticks up in as you're coming out of Viroqua. In particular, you can really see those turbines.
Okay, so that probably answers one of my questions. It was not named Cash Town because of funding.
So the story goes, so his name was Cash, and so I don't know why they left out the W, but I think it worked better for if you had a bank in Cashton, because it seems like it was meant to be. But that he founded it and named it, and he didn't put the W in town. He put it cash ton. So
yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's okay. But I still find it ironic that you know, the finances come into play here. So it really is an interesting community and obviously a beautiful setting. And what are the Cashton components of a rural community? Tell us about those essentials that exist there.
I think most rural places need, you need fabric, which includes education, healthcare, religious bodies, and time. And so I think we have all of those and more. Scenic Bluffs Community Health Center is a real focal point to our community in terms of medical care. That was an initiative after some of our resident doctors that, you know, as that became a bygone era of practicing out of your own home, Cashton went without health care in the community for a number of years and was dealing with a traveling mobile clinic for a few years, and then it was, let's try and make this more permanent, and that's where the idea of Scenic Bluffs Community Health Center came in. And it's been I think they just did their 25th year. Wow. And it's been a great resource for our community. You look at education, and without, I think this is some of the stuff that you and I go back on 30 years about, but the need for local and identifying yourself with place and education was always a real important piece to this. And Cashton without its school, I think, loses its identity to some degree. And it's really where a lot of the marketing, it's really where a lot of the entertainment comes in for if you're watching the kids participate, whether it's athletics, whether it's band, choir, all of the performance arts. So I think it's
And is the school pre-K through 12?
Yes, it is.
And so all in one?
Well, there's two facilities in Cashton. There's the original high school, and then they did an annex with the elementary, and then when they did some renovations and referendums, the gymnasium is at the elementary portion of the school. So a lot of times the public thinks that's kind of the school, but it's actually not where the high school is. But it's all connected essentially via a campus. So they're walkable between the parking lots and such.
And is the enrollment staying steady?
It's been steady. I think we're about 185 is kind of the population of the high school, and that's been stable, which we're grateful for, because the declining enrollments in rural areas is certainly something that is we're watching and trying to kind of keep the right amount. It seems to be in this 180 to 200 range.
Okay, great. And your your high school experience, when we caught up, I was surprised to see that you you did your part in coaching.
Well, enjoyed that very much, and was lucky enough to be the high school basketball varsity coach for 6 seasons, and enjoyed that very, very much, and and now watching the Cashton girls a little bit more than the boys because I've got a senior daughter on the team, but really great times and a lot of fun with coaching, whether it was youth sports for many years. As you're kind of taking the timeline of your kids and their friends through kindergarten through their senior year was a lot of fun.
And it's much appreciated by all the parents who know how hard it is to herd those cats into one direction towards a basket. So that's great. Okay, so we've got the school. We've got the clinic. What else are some of the main components of Cashton that make it run?
Well, I touched upon Organic Valley, and that was a huge initiative when they were establishing a Cashton footprint. That continues to be a vibrant location right on the edge of well, you had mentioned that Cashton sits on the edge of Vernon County, and Cashton's kind of uniquely located because it's 15 miles from two county seats, one in Vernon County here with Viroqua, 15 miles from Cashton, and then 15 miles to the north is Sparta. So I think that was somewhat of the place of the historical geography of it, that Cashton had a good location, and then as you turn west, you get to La Crosse at about 25 miles. So, but Organic Valley, I think, had their footprint in Lafarge, which was established first. I think they had outgrown that facility, and were looking, and so we took a really big run at Organic Valley to try and make Cashton a location that they could continue their growth in. And I think their growth is self-evident, and they've just done a remarkable job for agriculture. There's other agricultural pieces to Cashton, I think, that are important. You know, that's what the tie that binds a lot of our businesses and kind of thought process. You have Cashton Farm Supply has been a very big leader with organic initiatives, particularly chickens, as of the last few years. So it's you've got MDS, which is a huge kind of nationwide supplier now of different types of agricultural product and gear, and I think you've got Pasture Pride is a great local product and cheese store that ties again the agriculture and consumer activity, and how do you have great cheese and be a part of Wisconsin that way.
Right. Right. Yep. All important components. And then on the public side, the clubs, one of the things that's always noteworthy or sometimes really catches your attention as you're coming up on 33 is your local fire department always has some clever signs, and you know, volunteers make a community run as well. So your fire department's one evident, and I'm sure there's others.
We've got our first responders fire department is extraordinarily unique in that they get a waiting list of people to join.
Wow.
And, you know, our first responders started in the early, mid-'80s, 1980s, and some of them are kind of reaching their that started initially and now went from just being a fireman to doing the first responders also, and they're turning over to another level of kind of younger group that's coming in, and it is we're just very, very fortunate to have those left where these folks are getting calls on cold mornings and middle of the nights, and they're the first ones out there, and it is just a remarkable thing that they can make our first responders and fire departments so successful. other clubs in Cashton, you know, that are, you know, we've had a our heyday of the starting of these clubs was like in the 1940s with the American Legion, the Auxiliary, the Lions Club in Cashton's been around since 1949. Cashton Community Club was a spinoff of the JCs in the 80s, and so I think that was those are really important groups. And as you mentioned, on big community events, a lot of the clubs just coordinate and share it because it's Cashton Fall Festival is the weekend after Labor Day every year, and that one is grown to the point where it, not just one club goes about it. And so, for instance, the fire department does a pancake, you know, supper or pancake breakfast in the morning of the 5K. And so they, beyond doing all the work of kind of the emergency services, they also provide some really fun events to go to.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, you and I both know can't operate without the volunteers, that's for sure. Did we miss anybody in the public sector?
I think you've got a couple of implements that Portland Implement is right on the intersection up at the roundabout as you're coming through Cashton, and Hunt Implement was a huge piece of Cashton for many, many years. That's they're winding down their operation, and Portland Implement has been very important to the farmers for a lot of years. And so you've got another one that is transitioned, and I look back on one of the first businesses in Cashton was a guy named Chet Mitby. And Mitby Stevie Appliance has been in business since that point, and they recently transitioned to Eagle Appliance, and so that's been a Mike and Paul Mitby over the years, amazing community members, and just you cannot find a more true heartbeat of the community than through Mike Mitby.
Right. Yep. I've invested in Mitby's. They furnished my kitchen, which is awesome. That's great. So we touched on those various components, and again, what makes a community run. One of the things I was thinking about is that first roundabout that you mentioned. First roundabout in the area, and oh my gosh, did that get some attention. But I loved it. I hated that intersection before that. I witnessed an accident there, and I was so happy to see a roundabout.
Cashton, I think, has a long history of as a melting pot of, it was, there's been some more homogenous communities that were, whether it be kind of their heritage, or Cashton was more of a melting pot. And so I think with, and it was always a fun place to go to because of a pretty active tavern scene. And so
nightlife.
Yes. It had elements of that, but I'll tell you, it was, I think, part of an experiment that nobody will ever admit to this with the state, but they took the highway out of the downtown. And they, if you look at what they did with Cashton, and if you look at other places since, they don't take the highway out of the downtown anymore. And I think that was a learning of the different areas. But because it changed the community, it changed the downtown, it changed the fabric of the traffic flow. But I'm getting back to your roundabout question here.
We got to hold that for a quick station break.
Very good.
All right. You are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM, broadcasting from Viroqua, Wisconsin. My name is Marcy West, and you're listening to Conversations. My guest today is Scott Wall, and we're learning more about the village of Cashton. Okay, we got to get the story of the roundabout in Cashton. Here we go.
Yeah, well, again, you take a bunch of traffic out of downtown Cashton in the mid-70s, and it essentially guts the framework of the downtown. But from a transportation standpoint, we never really had a good intersection that was kind of planned. So you have speeding traffic instead of slowing traffic. So you think about Viroqua, for instance, and there's been a lot of discussion about bypasses and all that. But if you're coming through the downtown of Viroqua, it's slowed down in speed. And so what Highway 27, when it got rerouted out of Cashton, because Highway 33 still comes through Cashton. And so years ago, that intersection that was at a slower speed was in the middle of the community. Well, we took that out in the 70s, 80s, and that bypass was all in the name of, better transportation. But it, in fact, created kind of a dilemma in terms of the speed when you're spilling to a state Highway 33 back onto Highway 27. And so I think that's the really, really long story of why that roundabout there was so needed. And it's now being as roundabouts were the rage here now, but we definitely needed it. It was born out of absolute public safety concern and excessive speed, and so you needed to slow that traffic down. And I think at the time it was a big change, and nobody even knows it's going on anymore.
So. Right. And I think they got better they heard the concerns of truck drivers and things like that, of the turning radius. But transportation is a significant component in rural development. And you guys, thanks for taking one for the team and learning lessons.
Well, it was, it seemed to make the best sense to keep the traffic moving. And so I think that was, there'd been many, many examples of where it worked great in other locations and other countries, frankly. And so while it wasn't a new thing for, it was new to us, it wasn't really a new thing. And I think that was, now you've got, from a community development perspective, are you going to grow out to the intersection? And are you going to grow to the roundabout now? And so I think that's a part of a dilemma when the transportation improvements do come in, because that's a huge source of, if the traffic is more efficient. You look at some of the locations where, for instance, like Quick Trip, for instance, wants to be near a bunch of roundabouts because the traffic slows down and it creates more options to be seen. But now I'm getting off the subject. So.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it really does. It's one of those infrastructure pieces, as is sewer and water and all the others that make a community either grow or have challenges, more challenges than they need. But so, speaking of that rural development, you've touched on some of the anchor businesses. Organic Valley cooperating with Gunderson at the time, Gunderson Amplify, the healthcare system. So that had to be a major discussion point for the community, and how did that decision come about, or how does, because, you know, at the time, as I recall, windmills and solar were not at the technology that they are now.
I think it was thought through in terms of maximizing existing resources again. So much like the roundabout was related to a negative, which was kind of a public safety issue, the topography was an advantage to us. So I think when Organic Valley looked at a thing we were calling the biorefinery, and we thought we'd have the ability to have dispatchable power with the use of the wind turbines. And so they, I think, were excited about renewable energy. Cashton, I think, because it has its own electric utility, the village of Cashton owns its own municipal electric utility, which was an advantage to Cashton in terms of the development of dispatchable electrical resources. And so I think that's where those came together. Their mission of the environmental piece was really important, and I think we had a similar thought and really wanted that development. And so I think that's where those two matched up well. And again, it had to do with something that was innate, it was already there, which was the sense of the wind blows on the hill.
Yes. Yes, it does, and a little bit more consistently. Yeah, and I remember at the time, it was competitive. I mean, you guys were, Organic Valley had choices.
They did, and we were just grateful for their the people that they had running it then, and saw kind of a synergy with another rural community like Lafarge.
Right, right, yep, it's a great connection. And we touched, I mean, obviously Organic Valley, organic farmers are served. You have also a combination of agriculture from small to large, dairy, cash crop, the mix, and some unique ones. Is that the same thing, that they have everything they need in the area, so they stick with that, and the hub is Cashton for where they take their goods?
I think when you look at hand-milked dairy cows with Amish to rotary parlors and everything in between, from a dairy perspective, what is within a five-mile radius of Cashton is got it all. So it can be cutting edge and completely rudimentary all within the same thing. And it kind of speaks to the beauty of agriculture, and it's still with our large Amish population in the Cashton area, which is a huge draw for us. We don't have what I would consider a touristy feel about it. That happens on farm, and so I think that's been a feature of our relations with our Amish community, and which ties in with our agriculture. And it also is a feature to the Cashton community, which is just one of the Amish have been in the Cashton community from about 1965 on.
Yeah, and another unique one is you see it more in the spring, that a number of farmers have lines going from the maple trees and doing a variety of things to make the farm profitable throughout the year. So another cooperative, Maple Valley Cooperative, processing the sap, another unique component, and a storefront or a main street building.
They've got actual manufacturing of that product the syrup they bring in locally, and then they bring in some others as they're processing it, putting it into product, and moving it. And so we're very proud of the fact that the, Maple Valley and Cecil Wright and his crew, again, an Organic Valley alumni there, but he has brought it to downtown Cashton, and it's a nice employer for our community. And again, it's using an agricultural product, which is fantastic. The when you see these lines going through the woods, people they really do a double take, and then it's you know, when it's gotten much more robust in terms of those offerings, and so the hardwoods of the region are getting put to work in the springtime of the year.
Right, right. Yeah. Again, everybody has to be aware of all the needs and round the clock kind of work that can happen and renewable resource, of course. Okay, so with that business community, oh, and we didn't mention the restaurants.
Yes.
Got Badger Crossing. Yes. We've got
Badger Crossing is Cashton's Supper Club, and have it's had a long run and right downtown Cashton, and you have Bobby John's is another kind of staple that is right next to Badger Crossing, and our Central Express has served a lot of food over the years also, so those are some really important ones, and we've got a new coffee shop that we're excited about. And so, yeah, there's a lot happening in terms of those recently, and now it's to try and have people go there and have good experiences.
Right, exactly. And so moving on to the bank, very noticeable that the bank has gone through a renovation. How did that come about? And remind me, is it 4 years old?
2021 is when I guess
Ooh,
we moved
good timing,
in. So, yeah.
2021.
Yes. So we were, we're far enough along that we were able to construct all the way through COVID. And so we were really fortunate with that, and I think the timing of that worked out well. That was a fortuitous plan that wasn't the plan, you know.
Right,
so that
right.
was we're in our so the Bank of Cashman was founded in 1899. We're in our fourth location since 1899. The first one was for about 4 years, and then there were two previous locations to the one that we're currently in that stood from 1903 to 1958 and 1958 till 2021. And so we're still feeling our way through our building. I mean, you know, when there's weather extremes, you know, whether it's high winds or cold temperatures, we're learning new things about kind of this type of construction. But we're at 724 Front Street in Cashton, and so if you come to downtown, you'll see the building.
Yep. And how many employees? Or
we have 13 full-time employees, and that's been pretty stable since. You know, the mix of our employees has changed since I've been there. So I started in 1991 at the Bank of Cashton, and we had 6 full-time tellers. You know, and you think about change in banking, that one seems to resonate with people because now, we have essentially, one or two that are more exclusively customer service in person. And our drive-through window is probably our busiest window, and then you have transactions in the hundreds of thousands that never used to take place but now do. And you're saying, how does that all transpire? And it's been an interesting change over those years. But I think we can do a lot more with less people, and the people that we have employed are doing a lot of different things.
Right, right. Yeah, dramatic change. I know I'm a geek about rural development, but local community banks, that board of directors is key. Obvious president is key. How does that all come together, the components of a community bank, to make it successful? I mean, obviously, people have choices about where they do their banking and what makes the difference for a community bank with a board.
Sure. I think the you have a responsibility to serve your customers. And so the location of that gives you the flavor of some of the features and the hours and things like that that need to take place. But we're, you know, I think community banks are it's a distributed model of capital. It's a good thing for, you know, you do travel in many or other countries and such. Having a distributed model of capital and getting things decentralized from that perspective is, I think, a very healthy thing from a macroeconomic perspective. And so as you look at some of our we have customers in 47 of the 50 states. We're kind of distributed that way in terms of our customer service model, but we're one location. This is where we focus on, and this is where we are. I think the advent of the internet has created that opportunity for us to be able to serve people elsewhere, and that you hopefully have an identity to your customer service that people want to, you have a responsibility to them. It's using their funds, it's their money. And that's the stewardship, I think, that the Bank of Cashton, you know, would be reflective of other community banks throughout the country.
Right, yeah, I agree. Again, one of those staples, but when times are tough, for whether it be your businesses or your individuals, there's more of a local connection.
I think so, and, you know, you look at ag prices and, you know, boom and bust periods, and so I think living through those times and having the expectation of these are things that maybe the good times don't last as long and the bad times don't last as long, or they can get you through them. And that's the understanding, and that's being an ag bank that, you know, that we kind of are, that's in our history. And I think we're as much rural, and so you live through those ups and downs of weather. You live through the ups and downs of production, of, you know, drought, and I think it's it just makes you a little more robust in terms of your kind of how you come back and help serve customers the next time.
Excellent. You are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua, Wisconsin. My name is Marcy West. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations. My guest today is Scott Wall, and we're talking about the village of Cashton, Wisconsin. Okay, just continuing on that agricultural community, you know, like you said, there's ups and downs. Our recent headlines seem to be a little bit more significant on issues facing the farm community. The demographics, farmers are aging out. Are we seeing a generational shift there? What are you seeing in the community?
Farmers are getting fewer and fewer, and the farms are getting bigger and bigger. And I think the way that you know, a recent phenomenon is that we're kind of going, there's a little bit of going back to a more diversified ag for on a larger scale. So, for instance, you've got large dairy farms now that may take a look at doing these chicken barns also. And that reminds me of kind of what it used to be, you know, where you had a farmer that would have hogs and they would have chickens and they would, you know, there was a place called Trader Produce in Cashton that was that, you know, did egg grading right in Cashton and things like that. So you've got some of your large farms are now diversifying a little bit, which is that's kind of a new twist. You I think when you look at some of the smallest, like our Amish farmers, that's a hard go, and so they've been able to kind of adjust their size a little bit more deftly, and they've done more with the wood craft, the wood working, the wood products, and many other things than just wood products.
Right, right. Yeah, it is. It's very interesting to watch, and you know, it'll be interesting the next 10, 15 years to
give
see.
Give you the one more. So you've got, like, the greenhouses of the Amish, yeah, in the springtime, and that kind of involves the whole family. And so that's been a way that they've been able to keep agriculture as a piece of this, which I think really is the evolutionary phase that, you know, we're somewhat in due to necessity. But I don't know that that's ever been a whole lot different. You right. know, I think it's always been that, and I think it's just probably just accelerated and a little bit more pronounced due to the sizes of things these days.
Right. And the tourism component of it, that, you know, you go to those greenhouses on some Saturdays and it's just like, wow, how did these people discover it? Or, you know, the distillery, kind of the tourism component within the agricultural settings has been interesting to watch.
It is. And you think of wedding barns, and right. you think of things like that where, so it's due to, you know, I think it goes back to people want to live out here and they want to live on some, they like the thought of living on some land. They like the rural flavor. If they don't, they can kind of, and want to visit here, then they can think about it more wax poetically a little bit. I think Kickapoo Valley Reserve's done a great job with that you started, you know, and kind of kept the flame going throughout that whole thing and brought the pieces of this area more to light as more of a way to live than just a place to be.
Yeah, well, that took a whole region, so we've already done the reserve on a previous interview, so we'll skip that. But no, it is the beauty, the scenic beauty, the tourism component, and I think people looking for a little bit of peace and quiet in areas. So with the small business segment or components of that, you and I have both seen small businesses that make it and others that don't. What would you kind of highlight as if somebody's thinking of starting a small business, what they need to think about or where they can go for help?
Well, I think the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well.
Good to
and
hear.
So
good.
That, I think, is a huge component, because if you're going to get into business for yourself, you're going to have to work harder than you've ever imagined, and it takes a lot more time and money than you ever thought it should have. And if you can find something that you love doing and can make money doing it, that's a pretty good way to live. And so I think that's the essence of that entrepreneurship. I think small businesses spring up, and some grow, and some have a shelf life that just doesn't maintain itself. But I think that energy is the energy to do it is that fundamental piece of currency that's needed for that. You have to be vested in with kind of your being into it, and then you've got a real shot to get it done. There are some really good examples of folks that kind of wake up and can't wait to get to work, that have grown as entrepreneurs, and different individuals that have stemmed from Cashton that I feel like have carried that forward.
Yep. And when they come to you, do they need their business plan in hand? Do you help them through that? Do you refer them to the tech college or small business development center or regional planning? Or
we like to work with those groups, but if they're, and I think one of our advantages to Bank of Cashton versus just places, financial institutions that don't have that focus, is we really appreciate an entrepreneurial spirit and want to have a diversified business group. And so I think that's there's a lot of risk involved with that. So typical financial institutions may not have as much of an open door, and then you need to go to some of those the resources that you mentioned. If somebody's got a business plan from a small business development group, that's a great thing as a starting point. I think they ask a lot of good, tough questions and kind of help you form it up with that. If you come in with a big idea and the right approach, we'll, I think, try and help you get to the next phase, which isn't always money, so that's the perspective of having a business is all encompassing. And so it's having a business plan, try and form it up and not just start with, well, I need money, mm-hmm. So that I think is a piece that we try and counsel on. And but there's really never a too early a stage to come in and talk to us. We'd love to talk to people.
That's awesome. Great. And so if we go out from the individual business and look to the rural communities, again, you and I have seen the ups and downs and significant impacts, but what do you see now that's facing our rural communities, the challenges? What's keeping you up at night?
I think this is one that we've talked about for probably 30 years, which is out-migration of your youth. And so you're looking at, do you have enough opportunities for your youth to come back or to have people move in that can kind of carry the flame forward? And I think that's consistent, so that's not a new one that keeps me awake. So sleep pretty well. No, that's that's good. I'm getting old. I can sleep well now. So I think, making sure that there's something to come back to. So I think it's growing up and growing old. And if in the middle there, you need to go and kind of sprout your wings and have different experiences and such. I think that's a wonderful recipe too. But that if there was folks that wanted to come back, that there's something to come back to. So I think that's where the education and those resources, I think the health resources, the a community that feels safe and comfortable is good.
Right. I agree. And like you said, attract others. You may come and visit, but if you decide to live here, here's what we have to offer you. is a huge component as well. Just one on a side note of a conversation I was having with a friend of mine who volunteers at the food pantry. And it's not unique to Cashton by any means, but they did indicate that there's been quite an increase in residents using the food pantry and that they're seeing young families with children and retirees, so it kind of runs the gamut. What's the best way from a rural setting or a rural community, what's the best way that we can help our friends and neighbors in that situation?
The Cashton Cupboard and Closet is an initiative which was, I'm probably going to get this wrong in terms of like the length of time, but I'm going to say it's been around for about 15 years. And an enormous assistance to people, whether or not they're just the area. And I think the that has been a huge resource for the community, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it's and a great place to volunteer, a great place to donate to. And so it kind of extended the reach of what was part of like a more of a religious congregation, kind of your church extension of the church and the school would take care of making sure the kids had, you know, mittens and scarves and hats and all that, you know, over the years. And I think now this is into, you know, we're feeding and in addition to clothing. And so I think Cashton Cupboard and Closet's been a very important piece to that.
Yeah. Awesome. And the, you know, the donations and Scenic Bluff provide services to those who need it and things like that. So again, community components that are crucial in hard times and in good times.
Cashton, the Scenic Bluffs Community Health Center, takes people regardless of their ability to pay. It's a 501c3 community health center, and so they have a sliding fee scale that is an opportunity for folks that want to do something but can't afford the entire amount of care. And then they have 100% full pay. So I mean, it's kind of a thoughtful way to say when it was started, it was called the Healthy Neighbor Plan. And that was really important because if your neighbors are healthy and well-fed and thought of and taken care of, it's a better community.
Right. Exactly. All right. So we're winding down. What's on the horizon for Cashton?
Lots. I think challenges ahead, you know, in terms of housing and growth. And I think it's hard to be looking for a new to like get your first home, and it's so you've got, as some of the new construction has slowed, a lot of the first time homes are still being occupied because the right, or I guess the intriguing piece of housing that seems to be kind of stuck in neutral right now is when they're is typically new homes built, that means people are kind of going up through the system. They start in a smaller house, and then they may get married, have kids, and they need more space. And then as they get old like me, then they may try and downsize. And so then you're constantly kind of evolving with the different pieces. And I think that's one that we're looking forward to addressing.
Yeah, that is a challenge, and opportunities exist, I would assume, for additional components on construction. Well, great. Any annual events that Cashton, you said the Fall Festival?
Yeah, our big one is Fall Fest, and that's our we've been doing that longer than La Crosse has had Oktoberfest, so I'm plugging Cashton Fall Festival weekend after Labor Day.
Awesome.
Every year.
Awesome. Well, Scott, I can't thank you enough for coming in. Great to catch up with you. Great to learn more about Cashton. Folks want to visit, they're always welcome, right?
They are always welcome, and we appreciate WDRT and you, Marcy, for having us. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. This is WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua, Wisconsin. We appreciate each of you who listen and support community radio. I want to thank Scott again for joining us, Scott Wall with Cashton, and Steve Brandle for recording and technical assistant. You can find recordings of this and other conversations in the WDRT Archives webpage at wdrt.org. Hope you all have a great day. Thank you.